Everyone faces questions and decisions that require insight and answers as we move forward personally, professionally, and corporately in all areas of this thing we call life in America today. Hello, this is Joe Schofield, and I invite you to tune in every Monday evening from 6 to 7 p.m. as we talk together and hear from key leaders of all ages and backgrounds about your questions. Interesting, informative, intuitive, but always encouraging. Tune us in on BBS Radio Network.
Join Pastor Joe and co-hosts Ron Greer, Dr. Paul Hall, Stephanie Thayer, and Dr. Craig Thayer in Raising Expectations.
Well, hey, good evening, ladies and gentlemen. It's Monday night, and that's your night with your program, Raising Expectations, coming to you from all the way across the United States in many ways. And we're so grateful that you tune in each week and you're part of our family. We thank God for you. Most of you know all about our team, Raising Expectations, in our fifth year, I believe, now. And we have a wonderful team of people that we're going to introduce to you again tonight, as I do each week, because people ask, please run those by us again. You know, all of us are Christians. We believe that Jesus Christ is the living Son of God, that God is who he says he is, and that God will do what he says he will do. In fact, God did what he said he would do. He sent his son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross for you and for me. And he's coming again for us. And so often we get asked questions like, why do you care about religion? Folks, I don't even believe in religion. Religion is something we can work into. But Jesus Christ gave us a gift of salvation. It was a gift to us who believe in his name and believe that he died for us. And that simply tells us that every day he's with us. He walks with us and talks to us, and we know he has a plan for our life. It also tells us that someday the $6 billion question, where do we go when we die? We already know. That's the 60-cent question for us, because we're going to be with him. He paid for it at Calvary. So thanks for tuning in, and we pray for you, and thanks for hearing about the things God's doing in your life, raising those expectations as you turn to him. As we look at this tonight, now I want to take you again to introduce you to some of the most wonderful people you're ever going to meet in your life. I've been a pastor 55 years, and these people bless my life more than anybody I know. I want to start on the West Coast. That would be the left coast, if you're looking at the screen. In fact, many people call the West Coast the left coast, but in any event, we've got my good friend, Dr. Paul Hall, there in Lompoc, California, just north of San Jose. Paul's a retired pastor. He's a teacher. He's someone who blesses the lives of people all around the world. This is a great guy. He's been my buddy for so many years. And so we're grateful that he's part of this team. And I'm grateful he's been part of my life all those years. Been a blessing to me, Paul. Good to see you. How's the West Coast tonight?
It's good. Good. It's good. Yeah.
Okay, good. We'll keep it under control. Good work.
Okay. I got it.
We're going to go together all the way to the East Coast in the north part of Georgia, in Dalton, Georgia. And there we find two of God's very special people, and two people that we've grown to love like family forever. And that would be Stephanie and Dr. Craig Thayer. And Stephanie and Craig are two of the most wonderful people and examples of what it means to put your life in the grip of God's grace and follow what he's doing in your life. Stephanie is a mother, and of course, they've got wonderful kids. We'll let you tell them about that more. We're coming to a Thanksgiving special. You're going to hear some great things in the end of November about that. But Stephanie is a health and wellness coach, and also a great counselor and helper for Christian ladies and ladies seeking answers for life. I'm going to ask you to follow us to our website right now. If you've got your computer with you, just go to bbsradio.com/raising expectations. And right there, you'll see there's last week's guest, Sarah Siegland, and she'll be back with us the 24th of November. And you can see some of the names of the shows that we've had. And also, here are the people on the show. So as I introduce them, you'll know you can read more on our website. And then I'd like you to lead you to their websites also at the same time. If you go to Stephanie, she has one called Live Your Life Out Loud. And here it is. You'll find resources that she uses to help people. Ladies from all over get help with Steph. You know why? Because she's an honest lady with God, and they know you can trust someone honestly who cares about you. And Steph's one of those ladies. She deals with people all week long. You'll want to know Steph better. Stephanie there, right there. Live your life out loud. Check the resources. Check her website and see what God's doing in her life. She's a very special lady. And she married a very special man who she made, here's a big word, write it down, even specialer. You want to have that word, that's important. And that's Dr. Craig there. And Craig is a surgeon, he's a trauma surgeon. When they don't know quite what to do, he's been the guy. They say, what do we do now? And he prayerfully seeks the best path to bring a healing to that person in a great time of stress and need, whatever the surgery might require. He also is a man who is a missionary doctor. He's done doctor's work in Africa and the Caribbean and other places helping people. And he and Steph have traveled together helping people. So you'll want to find all about him and what he's doing. And on our website, you'll find his book. He has a new book called Saved, 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 One Trauma Surgeon's True Accounts of the Miracles of His Life. And I love what he put, finding God in the ordinary. I say it every week because he blesses me in my life. God's at work in the ordinary things of our life. That's why it's so great to be a blood-bought, born-again Christian. You never know yet what God's going to do each and every day. So read this, the story of Craig Thayer's life, the miracles of his life. You'll find it in the book called Saved. You can check it out right there on our website and find more about what God has done in his life. You'll want to be a part of that. Right above it, you'll also find my book, Legitimate Faith. This is the third copy. It's called Producing Authentic Hope. And of course, faith stands for forsaking all. I trust Him. And that brings about assurance in faith. When the storm is the blackest, He turns the clouds the clearest for you to see His face through the storm till He brings you through it. So I invite you to take a look at that too. A foreword by Zig Ziglar, they're a good friend and my mentor. So you'll also find that there. And if we continue together, all of us, and we just go left from the East Coast, the south part of the East Coast there in Georgia, you just jump over Alabama, Mississippi, northern Louisiana, and come into the state of Texas, and you'll find right there. One pastor, Ron Greer, is one of our favorite pastors there in the state of Texas. Ron will be with us tonight, but check him out. He's an area director with Man in the Mirror. I believe that's based out of Florida. And he works with people, men particularly, around the nation, finding out what and why and how God has been working in their life so that all of a sudden they can reach over and flip on the lights through prayer and see God floodlight what he's been trying to do. So the difficulties become not only disciplines, but they become victories in his life and their lives because of what Ron helps them to find. So Ron is a great brother in the Lord. He's just a real blessing to every one of us, one of our favorite men that there is anywhere. So from there, you'll find this is basically a team of people that have blessed my life in an unbelievable way. And I know from what you tell me that they will bless your life in an unbelievable way also. So also I want to share with you tonight, each week that we'll be sharing, and I gave her the choice tonight. So my wife said, put me on last with you. So you cover what you're doing. I want you to say hi to Melba. Melba, this is my wife, and we're getting married again on Saturday. Saturday night. That's right. So we got big times on Saturday night, and you're all welcome. Yeah, we're excited about it. She is a graduate of Hard Simmons University with me in Abilene, Texas, and Southwestern Baptist Theological Seminary. She's a specialist in teaching and education for children, and she's done many, many seminars all over the place on raising kids and helping them and helping churches to minister to them. She's just a great asset, but she's also one of the most wonderful women you'll ever meet in your life, and I'm so blessed to have her to be my wife. So a real precious, precious wife. And we knew each other in college. That was, as they say in the reservation, many moons ago. So it's pretty exciting to see this now. So tonight we have a very special guest with us, as you know. In fact, we have two. We've got someone that I know that you have appreciated, both of them in the past, and they're here with us tonight to give us some insight and to kind of discuss with everybody. You always love these roundtable discussions, and this is Pastor Cliff and Jeannie Poe coming to us from Woodlands or Conroe, actually, Texas. You've been reading about them. I guess it's across or under the freeway right next to each other. And My brother-in-law and my sister, and they have been helping people for countless years after year there. And he also graduated here from Golden Gate Baptist Theological Seminary, like Paul did. And he's pastored churches there in the South. And he also is the founder and lead coach for Recon Coaching. So you could read about that as a master coaches, both of them. They're passionate to help individuals and couples healthy, lasting, satisfying relationships. He has an MDiv in pastoral counseling and ministry. And he enjoys writing and coaching as well as his family, which includes, and we love this, two adult kids, their spouses, six grandchildren, and a fur family composed of a golden retriever and a mackerel tabby, who will get you if you get between him and his food. I remember when I was there. So we just want to welcome them tonight. It's so great when we get together like family like this, and we pray over it and ask God the Holy Spirit to speak to us. And I know Cliff will be a great blessing. And Jeannie, there's no better at this than the two of them together. So we want to give them the round of applause, and we want to welcome you to Raising Expectations, guys. Cliff, I'm going to turn it to you and just roll with it and toss it out there. Take it away.
Well, I just have to say, marriage is what brings us together today, right?
Mileage.
Marriage, true love.
Oh, you knew I needed to hear that tonight.
This in a wedding.
Princess Bride. Okay, some of our audience probably never even heard of that, but you know, it's a great show, great movie. Marriage is what we want to talk about tonight. Jeannie and I got into marriage ministry not planning to at all. But after about year 17 in our relationship, everything imploded. I was a pastor. She was working in the president's office at University of Texas in Galveston. And we were being very good at our separate careers and even at raising the kids. But we didn't know how to connect, and we didn't really know how to be married. And we didn't really know what it was to have an intimacy in your relationship. So anyway, when everything fell apart and when we started finding tools to put it back together and everything, we decided we wanted to help other people. And Lord just opened the door for us to do that. So we're not experts. We don't consider ourselves experts by any means. So we want everybody to give us some feedback tonight. Did you want to say anything? I'd like for you guys to share some of your thoughts on that. And kind of to kick it off, I wanted to read a quote by Charlie Kirk and then just see if you guys what you guys think about it. It's about marriage. He said, "Get married and have children. It's not only good and godly and will bring you joy and legacy, but it's a simple act of defiance against the darkness of
Absolutely.
the age."
Absolutely.
What do y'all think? You know, the thing about it is the divorce rate has gone down, but that's because the marriage rate has gone down. People are not getting married as much as they did. And we see Charlie kind of making that statement that goes against that trend. I don't know. What do y'all think?
I think I just read a recent stat on Gen Z having an increase in marriage rate. So there's hope.
Yes.
There's hope.
Well, I know in my
And I
first,
think.
that was the plan. You get married, you have your kids. If you work, you work. But most of people our age or women my age were not working at first. But when you want to have kids and have two cars in the driveway and a brand new house or whatever, you learn to work and work it out with the family structure and the dynamics behind it.
Did any of y'all homeschool kids?
Oh boy. Take it, Steph.
Paul, did you start out thinking you would homeschool? Same.
Well, and actually, it wasn't my children. I'm homeschooling my granddaughter right now. So at 75 years of age, I'm learning a new skill. I mean, kind of things like that. But I'm glad, you know, for the opportunity. She goes to a charter school, and she goes there on Wednesdays and Fridays, so we have a run to Tuesday and Thursday. And it's not only I think it's really helpful to her, And on the downside, it's reminded me of how stupid I am on certain subjects. You know, it's just, especially Common Core math. Are you kidding me? You know, it's nuts. But I certainly see the value of it. You know, it's even in the charter school, she is really up against a really negative tide, especially in terms of how kids these days are so gender fluid. You know, that seems to be the big issue, you know, going on right now. So, you know, trying to protect her from that, but at the same time realizing how deeply the spirit of the age has ingrained itself, you know, and it's tough. It's really tough.
You're absolutely right. If I can just interject this and then I'll rein myself back in. Our granddaughter Bliss is just begging her parents to keep her home and teach her homeschool. Her mother has a teaching degree. However, she's also engaged in what they call the youth, it's a youth group, but it's in Houston, and it's a theater, and they're all homeschool children. And you see such a difference in the homeschool children that help her when she's there late, or there's one that will take care of her and all these sorts of things. And she really, really keeps asking for it because she's being bullied. And she's going into seventh grade next year, so.
That's what essentially led to Lizzie, our granddaughter's charter school experience. She was being bullied in the public schools, and that's an awfully common thing, you know. And of course, the teachers, some of the teachers would love to do something about it, but their hands are tied in so many different ways. You know, the monkeys are running the zoo, and it's tough. It's really tough. You know, my heart goes out to her and all the other kids as well. It's hard.
So far, all of our children are in public school, and our daughter's a public school principal at an intermediate school. And we see this, you know, like you guys are talking about, there's really the darkness of the age and well, we felt like our grandson was being groomed by some other older kids, and we're able to address that in a timely way. But yeah, if our kids are our hope, and I think of two different couples that we had mentored early on, even before they married, and then after they got married. One of them has 9 children, no, 10 children. The other one has 8 children, and they are the most incredible kids. You know, you talk about light in the darkness, they really are. So I what Charlie said really resonates with me. It is joy to have, and you're leaving a legacy like Paul with his granddaughter.
That's what I was going to say about Paul, you sharing it. It's a beautiful example of the extension of family. It's what Charlie's talking about. How wonderful if you're able to have grandparents that are deeply involved in a grandchild's life. That's such a beautiful and sweet thing, and more to love on them. And we all can't figure out Common Core, so you're fine. Knowing that they're loved, right, and having that nurture and that making marriage a priority, making family a priority. And we've been traveling recently, kind of following one of our kids at college, and we happened to go to the Naval Academy for an event. And so we were in Annapolis, which I had never been before. Highly recommend. Amazing, amazing old city. But the biggest observation that I had was that there were lots of young families everywhere. There were so many babies and toddlers and 4-year-olds. I could not believe it because I haven't really seen that in quite some time. You notice if there's a baby because there's not a whole lot of babies around. And so I do think there's something to say for there's pockets of people coming out and really deciding that the family matters more than maybe the 2 cars or the fancy house or caring about what society says.
Yes, the moments and the experiences that they remember.
Yeah.
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 You
Yeah,
know,
they're
when
great.
Charlie talked about, being a simple act of defiance against the darkness of the age, that's not a subtle thing. That's an in your face thing,
That's
and
right.
it's every day, and bless our hearts to pray for them and love them and encourage them, along the way. It's such an important thing, and they need to see. They need the kids. What's the old adage? More is caught than taught. Is that right? And for them to catch a vision of what life can be in a different way than what they're being fed by their friends, And it's scary. It's scary that if they hear it from a friend, it has to be true. And so when a parent or a grandparent encounters that and tries to refute it, it seems like their friends have more weight than parents and grandparents, in some respects. So,
Yeah, that's true. Any
it's
thoughts about that? Yeah.
Okay.
it's just the evolution of the family, right? So you've got a political party who supplemented single moms, and then someone else who created, Planned Parenthood and abortions, and just the demise of the family unit. And, Satan only needs a little change in something that's, written in scripture to make people believe it. YouTube is scary. You got social media now. You have kids, male kids, looking at porn at the age of 7, probably younger because that was 5 years ago, probably because of phones. And it's just he's trying to work any angle he can work.
That's
I think
right.
I'm going to go in a similar way. And I was trying to look up the quote. I don't know if the quote said seed, but in my mind, I just thought of seed. I was just thinking of significance in the Bible and the Lord's seed, right? Like Jesus is immaculately created from a virgin, and I would say the seed of the Lord, right? And men have seed to procreate. So what does the enemy do? He goes every way he can. We'll go abortions. You are not the sex that you are. Definitely don't have a family. So let's just destroy the whole family structure. So all these different angles are being attacked to essentially try to stop humanity, right? Which is the Lord's beautiful creation. I mean, he made us like him. We are unique. He gave us free will. Like the significance of our existence is awe, like just awestruck if you actually take a moment to sit back and realize we can even live on this planet that can't exist anywhere else, you know? And what's the enemy doing? He's just going and attacking any way he can. And so when we say, hey, look at the goodness and the sweetness of this family structure, it has pushback from so many angles now.
That's right. And of course, we know that the relationship between the husband and wife is the foundation for the home. And Satan's two of his biggest tools are division. If he can get us divided as husband and wife, and if he can get us looking to materialistic things like our retirement or our whatever, our second home or our boats and cars and all that stuff, if he can just make us materialistic or if he can divide us, then he's got us. And so that's two things that I think that we ought to really guard against. But talking about keeping your marriage strong, what have you all found that keeps your marriage strong and healthy? What have you tried? What has worked for you?
Keep courting. I'm sorry.
Amen.
The three different types of dates. There's the single night out to a restaurant or whatever, or movie, or and there's the longer weekend, and then there's a trip together. So those things. 20-second hug.
Yep. Oh, the 20-second hug is so weird if you haven't done it. Like it feels real odd for about 12 seconds. And then you kind of settle in and it's amazing. I highly recommend the 20-second hug.
We tell our clients it's a
Hug
20-second kiss.
Yeah. Well, I
working.
mean, it's actually one of our kids that started the hug, right? It wasn't even us, but it's very powerful. And I would say just see where you have commonality, where you
like the person, we will often go and sit and play games outside, and they're not super intense, so we can chat while we're playing. And just the simplicity of that, right? It's just doing something together.
Connection.
Yeah. It doesn't have to be fancy or planned.
Right.
And
Exactly.
it's important because we're, empty nesters, and well, Braden's with us for a little bit, but yeah, it's just suddenly, if we grew apart, we would have sat across the table from each other and said,
Who are
"Who are
you?
you?" Yeah.
Had a lot
Nice
of couples
meeting.
to
What
do
do you
that.
like? We'll pull your eyes again.
You were talking about the different kinds of dates. I heard somewhere somebody say that every 2 weeks have a date, a nice date night out. Every 2 months take a weekend away, and every 2 years have a vacation without the kids. And
You too, too.
two planted. We haven't made it yet, but it sounds good.
It does sound good.
Yeah.
I don't know how realistic,
Yeah.
but
Well,
well, we do have
no, date nights.
we do have date nights. We have a special little Mexican restaurant that we like, and we go early and we split, and the food is amazing and
Yeah.
it's inexpensive, and it's just I look forward to it on Saturday night. I do. And we even have our special little waitress that we talk to. She's
Yeah.
precious.
We talk to her. We pray for her. She's
Yeah.
pretty. Yeah. So anything else that y'all have discovered that keeps marriage healthy in your
Melba.
experience?
Melba's got
Yeah.
something. Yeah.
When I first got married, we lived in San Angelo, and I worked at the tele well, we both worked at the telephone company, but he worked deep nights and I worked 8 to 5 or 7 to 4 or 9 to 6, depending on my schedule. But one time I asked him, I said, you don't take me anywhere anymore. We've been married maybe a year. And he says, well, didn't we go pay bills today? Of course, in San Angelo, you go down one block and up another and down across the street. I said, okay. Now, and then, 15 years later, I'm on staff at a church, and so I get Fridays off. So that became our date day. So we'd go to breakfast, we'd hit a movie in Grapevine, and get back in time to pick up the girls between 2 and 4 every Friday afternoon. And then from that point on, it was family time. So Saturday, especially when I was in seminary, I told him, I said, we're limited on funds, but we still want to go and do things with you guys. I said, we'll go to the mall just to look. If we can buy an ice cream or a donut or something, we'll do that. But we need to be together. And so that was the way I planned it with that family. And now that we don't have any kids that are little, he's got grandkids. I don't have any grandkids yet, but those are things that helped my first marriage worked the 41 years we were married, and we never left him out. My oldest daughter lived with us until he passed away, and every time we went out to eat, see if Rachel wants to go. I'd look at him, I said, Rachel is 35 years old. We'll see what we can do later, but this is our time. He goes, oh, okay. So it's different when they're older, and the interaction is different because we always want to take care of our kids. And even now, I'll think about my girls, one's in New York and one's in Indiana, and they'll call me or we'll FaceTime, and the oldest one's, Mom, can I borrow $50? Some things don't change. So, there are things that happen in their lives that we need to help compensate. But that was one thing, communication and prayer, and those 8 days were really, it's just like Tank was saying, when you're an empty nester, if you haven't had those personal times together, then you are sitting across a stranger because you've lived your life to have your kids and raise them. And then all of a sudden, you don't have them. So you have to continue that communication and that. I like the three types of dates. So
Yeah.
that's a good. I remember mom and dad, Joe. They would go out with their friends and they would have us a babysitter. And that was the only time we could go get milkshakes and hamburgers from McDonald's because mom would not let us have that. But they were going out on a date. So
Well, your time to shine.
That's right.
Go, go, go.
I think,
You're
Melba, you made a really good point, which is that it's easy to elevate our children, and our children are dependent, depending on the age, right? And they need their parents. But we have to remember that it's God, then your marriage, then your children, then everything else. And society has disordered that in a variety of ways. And
That's
that's
right.
where you don't want to get to 20 years in or however many, and then you're just on different paths, right? So it's, you have to make an effort to nurture that relationship.
Right. What we would do is we would pick a study book, and he would, because he was from Mexico City, he'd pick it in Spanish and I'd pick the English version. And we'd read a chapter a week and then discuss it during one of our devotional days during the week. And our church plant knew that we prayed every day around 10 o'clock. And one time, or had our devotional, one time one of the members called and said, "I am so sorry. I know you're in the middle of praying, but would you add this to your list?" And I said, "Of course, you know, we'll do that." And so I'd add their name to our list. But those are things that kept us together. You know, we didn't always do that. When we were starting in our careers at the telephone company, it was like hit and miss, you know, because he worked nights and I worked days, and it was a miracle that I even had two kids, but it happened. And God was good there, and he continued to bless our lives in very many ways. And my girls are a testament to that. But yeah, you have to make sure that God is first, because if you don't, then nothing else will come together within your family unit one way or another. So
You know, it's great to hear these things, and I believe there are people listening tonight who went down that road some, but they got smacked with divorce right between the eyes. They ended up flat as a pancake, wondering, how did I get here? And I know there are people who would say to me, as they often did, I did everything I know to do biblically, every single step of the way, and yet, boof, the first thing I turn around and I'm flat on my own, and I don't understand how this happened, and I've been run over by a truck. And so the great thing to realize with this, I thought about this and what you're sharing. These are such great things. Another reason I really love this lady right here is in looking at these things, and then tying what you're saying in with what Charlie Kirk was saying also, as Cliff pointed out, we do make a difference. And even Jeannie Beth said this. What is when you're growing up as right now, Paul is doing so much to bless his granddaughter. What is it when you're growing up in your home? Where is your key source of love? And then I find the pious Christian who will say, oh, it's always in Jesus. I talk with Jesus. No, that's wonderful to say, but where is your real source of love? Where does Jesus reveal himself to you sometimes when you need him the most? And so often it's through what you've all alluded to, our Christians. To excuse me, our children and things like this. I had two great sisters. You're looking at one, the other you met a few weeks ago. I had two great sisters, but I was the odd man out because I was the old guy, and they were the young spring chickens who were yeah, that's it. They were
That's for
behind the mom.
another time we're meeting, okay?
Yeah, right. And you know what? But I look back so often in my life, and I'm so glad I had this with my son today. Going through a divorce is painful. I've been divorced. It hurts big time. But the thing is, Jesus never leaves. Jesus never fails. Jesus is always there. And some of you listening in have often shared with me, Joe, I need help here. So when I think back of this right now, where was my source of the presence of Jesus sometimes when I couldn't find him because I hurt so bad? It was right what Charlie was saying in that verse, where he said, do this and do this and do this and get right back in their face. I don't argue with people with woke anymore. I don't argue about this, that, or the other. I simply love what Charlie Kirk said. And when Cliff brought that up, I just said, Cliff, you are no wonder you guys are spot on. You know what? To look into the face of everything socialism and all the stuff is trying to do today, destroy the home, destroy the church, destroy the relationship between mom and dad. Where was my source of the presence of Jesus? It was in my dad. And it was. But my mom was being a guy, there's always a kind of a guy thing. My sisters had the one with my mom, but I had the one kind of with my dad. And dad would reveal who God was through the way we dealt with things. My dad was a hero in my life. He always will be. There's no words to express my dad. I put him in the same category with Dr. Clarence Sands, who was my mentor at First Baptist Church San Jose, and with Zig Ziglar, who was my mentor in Texas. And dad would speak about things, and dad was learning. And we all learn when we go through these things, but we can't let God take away those things in our life. Excuse me, let the left or the world stand and follow the steps that God gave us, like all of you have said, and just walk in them and trust in them and take the steps it says in Ephesians 2. Every day they're going to be new and they're going to be special. And you can trust to put your foot down that that step's going to stay there. And when you need to lean to the next step, it will be there. But you may find it through your son who loves you, or through someone else in your family, your mom or your dad, or whatever it might be. But you'll find a source of that love that is there. And the cool thing is, like Charlie said, follow those steps. For all of you who found the divorce and you've been married 40 or 50 years, praise God for you. That's awesome. And that's what it's about.
If I
And if
could
you
share,
haven't been, God's with
sorry,
you
Joe.
through all this. Go ahead, Janie Beth. I'm sorry.
I was just going to share a personal story as far as this is, and we're both very proud of our daughter. She went through a horrific divorce. She had three children. She was single. She came down with COVID several times, and finally, cancer. And that she was more of a woman than I ever thought she was. She was raising three children. She was fighting cancer. She beat cancer. And God brought, we kept praying and kept praying. God brought the most amazing Christian man into her life.
He did not date.
Nope,
For
she
5 years, she just did not date.
didn't. It was all
And
about my children and becoming strong.
at the right time, God brought the right man.
Boy, is he
And
something?
boy, did he restore. I wanted to say, what a story. He restored everything plus with her.
Right. And
And
now we have four more
we
grandchildren.
got some
Have
grandkids.
some bonuses, yes.
Great son-in-law. So again, if you're struggling in that area, I mean, God has something good for you.
Right.
That's right. Amen.
Don't ever give up.
He can restore all that.
Amen. That's right.
I think it also helps to anticipate Satan's attacks. Like when we made a big decision to move for a bigger purpose, he attacked. Not
Amen.
our relationship, but he made it stressful because I had to stay back in California for longer.
He
It was
did go
just,
after our relationship.
yeah, he did.
He just went in an indirect
He
way,
said we
right?
would never be apart. We had a friend that moved, and her husband was a fire calf. He needed like 6 more months and then he could return. And we said, we'll never do that. But I tell you, Satan attacked and made me stay in California for an extra 3 months. And it was, but the thing is, another fire captain, another assistant scout master in Boy Scouts, I told him because they were planning, he and his wife were planning to move to Maine. And I said, be aware. You guys are going to argue. There's going to be a wedge. And it's not about you guys. It's about if when you know and anticipate that it really is Satan putting a wedge there, then, and it's funny because I came back for something else and went into a Starbucks and came out and they were sitting there and I'm like, hey, how are you guys doing? And they go, thank you so much, they said to me, for warning us about this because that's exactly what happened.
Amen. Yeah, you call them.
Let me give y'all some words and you tell me
Give us the likes.
these are things that I feel like are important in a relationship. Selflessness, empathy, validation, gratitude, kindness, and forgiveness.
Amen.
All right. So any of those resonate with you? Anybody want to say something about those? Selflessness, empathy, validation, gratitude, kindness, and forgiveness. Well, for me, I'll just jump in. You know, I think when Paul is writing that we're to submit to one another out of respect for Christ, to me, that submitting to one another means that I adjust my life to meet her needs. She adjusts her life to meet my needs. We serve one another, not because we have to, but because we get to. And that's where the
That's a thing,
gratitude comes
Joe. I
in.
don't have to, I get to.
I'm thankful for this woman who frustrates the snot out of me sometimes.
I heard that.
Yeah.
I recorded it.
Yeah.
You would not believe how many we always begin with the opposite perspective and the
Z
opposite view.
N A M, but we meet in the middle.
Somehow we meet in the middle, but and sometimes it's not pretty getting there. So anyway, yeah, selflessness and gratitude are huge, I think.
I think that's why we celebrated our 50th year.
Wow,
Yeah. Yeah, we're
congratulations.
going on
That's
51
cool.
now. But and validation, I think
That's huge.
that's left out so often. If you find your spouse repeating the same thing over and over again, maybe it's because they don't feel like they've been heard. They haven't been validated. And as you know, validation doesn't mean you have to agree.
No.
It just means that you value that person. You value their opinion. You value their feelings,
Absolutely.
their needs. You value them. You don't have to agree. In fact, a lot of times we don't, right?
Three words come to mind when you say that. So an avatar actually stole it from me, but I say, I see you.
I see you.
Yeah.
Exactly.
That's it.
I did not want to watch that movie. I was so irritated that the blue people were on the screen. And by the time that movie ended, I was sobbing with the ICU. So, and I think that's what a lot of life is about, is pausing to see each other. And ideally, family does that well. And you learn so much in a marriage, right? You learn so much about yourself. I mean, you learn about the other person, but you also learn about yourself. There's quite a maturing process that happens by being joined with someone else. That's the truth. Because sometimes you know that you're the problem, right?
Right.
Oops.
That's the selflessness part, right?
I'm not going to tell about the
I went to a conference one time and I worked at the telephone
I
company, and
mean,
it
it's
was.
having a
Oh, wait,
lack of
Melba's talking.
pride. Oh, sorry.
Sorry, Melba, go ahead.
It's okay. It was called Dealing with Difficult People. And so I sat there, and the first thing the conference leader said was, "You might be the difficult person." I thought, okay, I'm leaving. This is not
Definitely not me.
not me. So, yeah.
That's funny.
Yeah.
It's what it is. Yeah.
Well, thanks.
And in my first marriage, I had a cultural difference because I'm an American, even though Mexican descent, but my husband was from Mexico City. And so, first the language, and now the cultural part of it came in. And back in those days, they said, if you can be married, or the first 2 years are your determining factors. But if you go through those first 2 years, you're going to last. Well, for us, it was 5 years, because there's so many different things that we had to learn about each other culturally, and I had to learn better the language better so that we could communicate. And then being involved at a Spanish speaking church, it flowed. God used that, and ever since we got married, we've been ministering all over the place. But for 41 years, we did that. So, but it was a difficult time for me because I thought, oh, I'm okay, but then when that happened, I thought something is wrong here and we need to fix it.
Melba, I would just tell you, marrying a Californian is marrying someone from a different culture as well. I can speak to that from experience.
What does he mean, Jeannie?
The rest of us resemble that comment.
That's right. What am I saying? That's all
That's
of us.
right.
Gosh, I'm outnumbered.
Yeah. Take a look.
Yeah. And you're right. You're
It
right.
is different.
And with Joe, it's been different for me because he's always expressing his love. And not that my first husband didn't, but it was so different because culturally he wasn't raised that way. And so his mom was a loving person, but his father was so macho that I'm surprised he didn't end up macho, but he wasn't. But so this is a new experience for me too. I feel like this is my first marriage, but it's going to be interesting. But
Yeah.
needless to say, I'll
Well,
be calling all of you.
Feel
Feel free to call me, Melba.
Okay.
But talking about legacy, Joe and Jeannie's mom, who's so dear to me, I called her mom too,
That's
mom,
right.
suffered from Alzheimer's. And I can remember sitting by her bed reading her the Bible one day, and she didn't know who I was. She did, that had gone, that ability to know who people were. But she was quiet, and I said, "Mom, what are you thinking about?" And she said, "I have a wonderful Savior." Oh, if she doesn't know anything, she knows Jesus still. What a legacy. And of course, we don't have time to tell her story here, but she's got such an inspirational story of how she came to Christ and had to, it was her family disowned her, and then she moved across the country away from everybody she knew with dad. So yeah, the Scofields, mom and dad, left quite a legacy. And
Special.
an inspiration to, I married what, 61 or 2 years, I think.
I think it was like 62, 61, right in there somewhere, huh, Jeannie Beth? I'm trying to think. But yeah, very special. 62. Yeah, like I said, they're the source, like Kirk was saying, Charlie Kirk, what's the source? Sometimes Jesus reveals himself right through that family. We can't let the family be torn down. So glad what you said, Steph, you and Tank at the beginning that. You're seeing this in the which generation? What you were telling us, Tank? You're seeing more
Gen
Gen Z.
Gen Z. Yeah, so that's great. Well, I tell you what, just for a minute here before we wrap up tonight, ladies and gentlemen, and we've still got a couple of minutes. We're so thankful you let us come into your home. We're so thankful you come into our lives through Raising Expectations, and you're all in our prayers. And Stephanie always takes a moment to share a little bit about who we are. And if you do that right now, Steph, we'd be very appreciative. Thanks so much.
So Joe mentioned the website earlier. I'm going to redirect you there again. It's bbsradio.com/raising expectations. And you can find out all kinds of things about the show. So actually at the very top, you can listen to us live if you want. And then as you start to scroll down, you can see the fancy ways that you can make a donation. And if you continue to scroll down, we have the snail mail ways to make a donation. That's contacting Pastor Joe. And we just want you to know that we appreciate your donations. All the little bits add up and they go a long way, and it just allows us to share this with lots of people. And so we really appreciate that. You can see prior shows. You can even, there's a nice search function if you want someone specific. Then there's ways to connect with each one of us, a little bit of information about each of us. What else is down there? I think more archive, and then I know both Pastor Joe and Craig's books are available there. And so we just thank you for taking the time to connect with us, to listen in each week, and also share. Sharing the show goes a long way. So we thank you for that. And I just wanted to say something. You were making me think about family legacy, and I actually had a dream a couple of nights ago, and I sat up and it surprised me. And I was in a field praying with my grandparents, and then other people gathered to pray with them. And I sat up and I thought, why did I have that dream? And then I just remember what powerhouses my grandparents were for the Lord. And actually, I didn't know till after they passed the mission work that they had done. And just that you have family before you often that has prayed for you, even if it's skipped generations or you're not aware, like there's a legacy for your life, and family is to be cherished. That's how you got here. You would not be here otherwise, right?
That's right. Amen. Great thought. Great thought. Well, Cliff, boy, thinking about what she just said, maybe can you wrap us out here? We've got about 3 minutes. Maybe key thing you'd want to say for everybody to carry with them.
Well, I think one of the tools I was going to ask a question, what repairs a relationship once you've hurt each other? Because you do, you disappoint each other, you hurt each other. It's forgiveness. I think it was Ruth Bell Graham that said that a good marriage is the union of two great forgivers.
Amen.
So
Amen.
be quick to ask for forgiveness. Be quick to offer forgiveness. Keep short accounts. Love each other, give each other grace, forgive one another. Now, sometimes there has to be some boundaries put in place because of that. There has to be the promise that I intend never to do this again. I never want to do this to hurt you again. There's a sincere apologies are a part of it, making reparations, but forgiveness, even in the little things. Forgive me for using a harsh tone. Forgive me for not being sensitive to you, or what you were saying or feeling. So I can't emphasize forgiveness enough. I think in life, in relationships, and especially in marriage and family, forgiveness is so important. And Jesus forgave us.
Amen.
In fact,
Believe so.
he even, said some pretty strong words that if you do not forgive others, your Father in heaven will not forgive you.
That's right, man.
Because you've closed your heart and you can't receive forgiveness. Once you refuse to forgive, then you've closed the door so you can't receive forgiveness. So, so important. So important. Forgive.
Amen. Amen. Well, ladies and gentlemen, let's just take a moment here. Tank, would you just pray for Cliff and Jeannie Beth and pray that all our people can put this message to their heart tonight and seek the presence of God? He's right there, as Cliff and Jeannie shared with us.
You bet. Thank you for the honor. Dear God, I'm so grateful for Jeannie and Cliff, the family that they must have grown up with, and it's just so obvious that they've got a grace and mercy and a spirit of light with them. I hope that the viewers saw that and the comments from us and the things that we spoke about, and that those words gave them hope and a to-do list maybe, but always bringing it back to God, and God's will, and like Cliff said, forgiveness. Don't close your heart. Keep it wide open, hands up, free to give. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.
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 Thank you very much.
Amen. Cliff, Jeannie, we love you. And
Love
that
you too.
was, we
Looking
all
forward
hear
to
y'all.
watching.
That's
Okay.
it, man. That's right. Yeah, we'll figure that out.
Yeah.
Yes, Tank, sure love you guys. You mean the world to us, and more than we could put in words. And Paul, it's no words, bro. All these years, love you, buddy. And Ron, wherever you are right now, somewhere in Florida, we love you too, buddy. So we'll see you at same time, same station next week. We've got to bow out right now. God bless you and keep you, and look into the face of Jesus and remember he's right there. He's just a prayer away, and he can't wait to hear from you because he loves you so much. We'll see you next week on Raising Expectations, your show for the week. Bye for now.
Thanks, Cliff, Jeannie. Good to see you.
Thank
Paul,
you,
good to
guys.
see you, brother.
Friends, thanks for joining us on this week's program of Raising Expectations. We profoundly hope you found it engaging and at times humorous, but most of all, uplifting, so that we may, with you, one topic at a time each week, become more encouraged to move forward to an exciting future in, as we always say, this thing called life in America today. So let not your hearts be troubled, your family, finances, faith, freedom. It can be a great future as we talk, listen, respect, and pull together. Please let me hear from you. You can reach me at 972-922-8556. That's 972-922-8556, or Joe Schofield on Facebook or LinkedIn. It'd be a pleasure to know you, and we hope you'll listen in again next week on the BBS Radio Network.